This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Seton, what if I told you there's a bacon, then there's number one thick cut, tastes like a touchdown in your mouth bacon?
You must be talking about Wright brand bacon, because they are not playing when it comes to the premium quality of their bacon.
It's thick cut, hand trimmed, and real wood smoke, real. And you can tell.
So why settle for average bacon when you can have the real stuff?
That's right. And if you're looking to upgrade any meal, try Wright brand bacon. That's called Wright brand bacon. You won't regret it.
Experience bacon the right way.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
All right, Seton. So the poll question, we're going to go with Bills Chiefs finish last night?
Yeah. We're going to put up there if the referee should have thrown the flag on Tony.
Okay. We'll get to phone calls coming up. Best and worst of the weekend. We'll talk a little bit more about the Dodgers with Shohei Ohtani. Mercedes-Benz Holiday Love Celebration is here. Incredible offers on exceptional vehicles. You can learn more. The sale goes on through January 2nd. Learn more at mbusa.com/special offers. Speaking of special, he's Ross Tucker, Westwood One CBS Sports NFL analyst and host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. You can find him on social media at Ross Tucker NFL. Should they have thrown the flag on the play with Kadarius Toney, Ross?
Absolutely. Yep. I'm actually really surprised, Dan, that Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are complaining as much as they are. I mean, we still haven't had anybody say that he wasn't offsides. like Mahomes is kind of like, yeah, but it was such a cool play. It's a shame that they had to take it away. And Andy Reid's like, I usually get a warning. Like, what are we talking about? Andy wants a warning. Mahomes just wants it to count because Kelsey made one of the most ridiculous plays I've ever seen. The guy was offsides. And, what you know, somebody has to have it. Dan, I'm guessing CBS has it. Like, I want to go. I want to see, like, 20 seconds before the snap. Because you know how the protocol is now, right, Dan? I know you know this, okay? The receiver, they're either on the ball or they're off the ball. If they're off the ball, they look over and they say, and they look at the side judge and they're like, I'm off. And the judge will be like, okay. If they're on, they'll be like, am I good? And if you're off sides, the side judge will help you out. Like, those guys try to help you. They'll say, move back a little bit. No, okay, now you're good. Like, that's what happens. So, you know, I'm seeing some people say, well, Kadarius Toney checked. No, he didn't. I mean, he didn't follow the whole procedure. Because if he really asked the guy, he might have just said to the ref, I'm on, and pointed that I'm up on the ball. Yeah, no kidding, Kadarius. You're not on. You're so on, you're offside. You got to look at the guy and make sure you're okay. It wasn't even close.
Now, official won't jump in and say to him in the moment, like, you have to ask for confirmation from the official. He wouldn't say to Tony, hey, 19, back up. Does that happen?
No, because he's in the slot, and the side judge is pretty far away. And it's not the side judges or line judge, whatever. It's not their job to make sure that you're okay. If you look, they will help you. They don't want to throw the flag. They actually give you, like, a decent amount of gray area. Although, because of the brotherly shove this year, Dan, they've made it a point of emphasis. Because of what happened in the opener with Juwan Taylor at right tackle being too far off, and because of the brotherly shove, and they don't like it, so they're trying to figure out ways to change it, and they don't want the offensive line for the Eagles all up on the ball, they've made that a point of emphasis this year like I've never seen before. So it's even more of an onus on these line judges to make these calls. And it was the right call. It's a shame. I mean, nobody wanted him to be offsides. That would have been one of the awesomest plays we've ever seen. It stinks that Tony lined up offsides.
I mentioned this to start the show. Kadarius Tony doesn't have to be offsides. Like, he doesn't have to be even pushing the envelope, because his part of the play, if it was designed, is to be back, you know, from Travis Kelce. So he's really kind of stopped. He's in a neutral zone there, neutral area. I don't know why he felt the need to get out. And it, if he was going to the end zone, then I get it. But he wasn't. He probably went down 10 yards and sort of stopped. And then Kelce got the ball. But I don't know if this was a designed play or not. What do you think?
That's a really good question. I think it was built in to the play, but I don't think Kelce just did that on a whim. I think it was built in as an option or a possibility. I'm actually surprised, given the fact that there were multiple defenders around Kelce, that he had the guts to pull it off and actually throw it. It was amazing. Yeah. You know, one thought I had watching that, Dan, I feel like on some level, this will be the next thing in the sport of football. You know, like we had the Chip Kelly hurry up, and, you know, there's always like the next thing, you know, the zone reads, the RPOs. Someone smart and creative is gonna, and it's not gonna be all the time. It's not gonna be, but they're gonna have a couple plays a game where they're gonna have built in laterals like this, almost like built in hook and ladders, and have some success with it. Why wouldn't you try that, especially if you're a lesser team?
We're talking to Ross Tucker, Westwood One, CBS Sports, NFL college football analyst. He was on the call of Army-Navy on Saturday. Doesn't matter where they play. That atmosphere, you know, they bring that atmosphere when they bring in the cadets. And that was, and of course, you get down to a fourth and goal stop at the goal. I mean, it was awesome. It was wonderful.
Dan, it's my single favorite day of the year every year. I tell everybody, if you haven't been, you got to go. I don't know why, Dan, but once I get to the stadium, my chest is like this the whole time. I'm just like so full of pride and patriotism the entire game, seeing every cadet, every midshipman, the energy they bring. I don't know how they do it. I don't know if they rig the game or what, but it comes down to the last play every year. It's unbelievable that it comes down to the last play every year. And it was just a fantastic, fantastic day. Highly recommend. And you know what's crazy? I don't know if you know this, but they were telling me before the game, it was the second highest ticket in the history of Gillette Stadium. The last thing I had seen on my app on my phone, it was $787 was the cheapest ticket to get in. Wow. The only more expensive ticket, more than any Patriot game ever, any AFC Championship game, the only more expensive ticket was Taylor Swift in the summer. So the two most expensive tickets to Gillette Stadium in the history of the stadium, supposedly, are Taylor Swift and the Army-Navy game.
How much trouble are the Eagles in?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't think they're in that much trouble in the sense that their schedule gets a lot easier now, and they have a month to kind of figure this out. So from that standpoint, you know, we knew they were having a tough stretch, Dan, and I said at the start of it, 3-2 would be great if they went 3-2. It's weird, though, because they won the first three and lost a lot. Like, if they flipped it, you'd be feeling good about them right now. They beat the Cowboys, they beat the Chiefs, they beat the Bills, but now these last two losses and the way they've lost them, you know, I think they'll figure out the red zone stuff on offense. I don't think they'll fumble three times in the opponent's territory. The defense is concerning. The defense right now, the D-line's not as dominant as they need to be. They have issues on the back seven. It's going to be weird because there's a pretty decent chance they win these next four games. They go 14-3, and does that mean we feel like they fixed it or that they solved it? Or does it just mean they played the Giants twice and the Arizona Cardinals, and we won't really know until they go against the Cowboys or the Niners in the playoffs again?
if you had to pick today between the Cowboys and Niners, best team in the NFC?
Oh, Niners. Yeah, the Niners. I mean, I give the Cowboys a lot of credit for the way they're performing. They're doing a heck of a job. But the Niners, they blew the Eagles out. And I know the Cowboys won by 20 points, but, I mean, A.J. Brown had a ball in his hands in the end zone. Devontae Smith had a ball in his hands in the end zone. The Cowboys kicker made two 60-yard field goals. The Eagles fumbled three times inside the Cowboys' 40-yard line. Like, that game could have been more competitive, could have been closer. And I think the Niners are going to have home field advantage, so they only have to win two home games to go to the Super Bowl. I think the Niners are the best team in football right now. And I think it's probably by a decent margin, but we'll see who stays healthy. We'll see how they're playing at the end of this thing.
You're doing the Vikings and the Bengals on Saturday?
Yeah, two teams that have seven wins, and I think they might both be in the playoffs right now, or at least they're certainly in the playoff mix with, I'm guessing it'll be Nick Mullins. I think the Josh Dobbs thing is over. And how about this Jake Browning, Dan?
I know.
He only has three starts in the NFL, 80% completion. He's completing eight. Like, the Bengals are actually a real thing and a real possibility to still make the playoffs with Jake Browning, which is wild.
And then the Zach Wilson story. I get it's just, this is reality TV. Because reality TV isn't really reality TV because it's scripted. What Zach Wilson, the Jets, the whole story, the leak, everything, teammates, and then you're going against C.J. Stroud, and then, yeah, of course, he's going to throw a couple of touchdown passes and look awesome here.
Yeah, and then, I mean, I would love to see, like, what some of his prop bets are for this next game. You know what I mean? Like, because there's some people that are going to think Zach can do it again, and they're gonna be part of it. There's a lot of people think, nah, I've seen this movie way, way too many times. He's going to come crashing down. Give me the under on the Jets and whoever they play in the next game.
Great to talk to you. Safe travels. Thank you, buddy.
Always. Thank you.
That's Ross Tucker. Good buddy. The Ross Tucker Football Podcast. You can find him on social media at Ross Tucker NFL. I'm looking at the odds to win the MVP. Dak Prescott is the favorite. Then it's Brock Purdy. Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, and then Tua Tagovailoa. But really, it's a two-quarterback race right now between Dak and Brock Purdy. Now, let's see what happens with Tyreek Hill tonight in that game. The Titans are getting 14 against the Dolphins. Wow, that's a big number. And the Packers are giving 6 to the Giants. Over-under for the Dolphins, Titans, 46.5. Packers and Giants is 37. But Brock Purdy continues to just Brock Purdy. And I like how the critics of Brock Purdy go, well, he's not really throwing for 300 yards. His receivers, you know, the yards after the catch. Well, what the hell is Tua doing? I mean, Tua only has to throw it 12 yards, and then Tyreek takes it 70. But Brock Purdy, for some reason, when he throws the ball, he's not really throwing for 300 yards. I mean, I don't know if somebody's ever done that and looked at somebody's regular season statistical numbers of how far you actually threw the ball as opposed to yards after the catch by your wide receiver. Yes, Paulie.
That's actually a new stat this year that they're using during games and analyzing games. Like Brock Purdy this year is averaging 9.9 yards an attempt. 14. His receivers are averaging 14 yards a catch. That's leading the league. But they have this new stat of your throws, are they behind the line of scrimmage? Are they 10 yards plus?
Yeah.
And that's becoming a big thing of your actual throw attempts downfield or not.
Yeah, because that was a criticism I heard over the weekend with Brock Purdy. Well, he doesn't really throw the ball down the field. Like, okay. Tom Brady kind of made a career out of not necessarily throwing the ball down the field. I don't know if Patrick Mahomes is throwing the ball down the field anymore. Yes, Paul.
I have the most attempts, 10 plus yards attempts this year, not completions.
Oh, okay.
There's your hint. It could be a quarterback whose team is usually losing, but they're in it and they're just throwing the ball 50 times a game.
Mm.
So a bit of an obscure guy, not household name-ish.
Okay, not a household name-ish.
Their team is usually in a game but losing.
Desmond Ridder.
No, but that's a good guess. Mahomes is second. Herbert's third. Sam Howell is by far leading the league. Okay.
Yeah.
509 attempts of 10 plus.
Wow.
Stat of the day.
Here comes
that what? Stat of the day.
Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. You know who we haven't heard from today? Shea and Irving. He loves his Cowboys. That's a big win. He gets a little nervous when they play well. They still have at Buffalo, at Miami, and then they host Detroit. If Dak Prescott wins the MVP, good for him. He's a good guy. We've enjoyed our time whenever he's been on the show. He just feels like being that Cowboy quarterback, it brings criticism, it brings compliments, it brings just about everything. And probably more so, when you win, then it's about how great he is. When they lose, it's how bad he is. And this is, still, it's a regular season award. But I think we could go around the room, and most of the audience would agree. Yeah, that's nice, but. Oh, yeah, they're having a great regular season, but. Because that's where we want to see. You got a kicker who hasn't missed. He's 30 for 30. You know what we said? Well, what happens in January? Dak Prescott having a great year, MVP. All right, what happens in January? Now, is it a great story for the NFL if the Cowboys go to the Super Bowl? It is. Is it a great story if they don't go to the Super Bowl? Yes, not as much. But because people either love them or hate them. And then you would get people saying, well, what would be better? Cowboys get to the NFC title game and lose, or they get to the Super Bowl and you're not sure if they win or lose. You'd probably go, let's roll the dice. Let's see if the Cowboys can win a Super Bowl here. They make headlines. They drive shows. It's a fan base that is passionate and very opinionated. They have something this year. They truly do. But I think it's interesting that Mike McCarthy is now getting credit for the offense. They're opening it up. Keep in mind, this is the guy who let Kellen Moore's offensive coordinator go. He wanted to call the plays, and he wanted to run the football.
I mean, phenomenal play call.
Of course. He wanted to run the football. And then after their bye week, it's like, maybe we need to throw the ball. Sure, that seems like a good idea. I can't give him credit. I can't give him that much credit when he wanted to run the football and play great defense. Now it's like, hey, how about that offense? Yeah, Paulie.
This might be a warm take. If I'm Prescott, I'm not sure I want to win the MVP. I would like to be snubbed and finish second because if you somehow win the NFL MVP, regular season MVP, and do not advance to the Super Bowl, holy cow, can you imagine the media coverage of that? You won MVP. It was a false MVP. You didn't do anything to play. That's where it's going to go.
He's going to get $60 million a year. It's like we're freaking out over Ohtani getting $70 million. Dak's going to get $60 million. Now, it's not for 10 years. At least I don't think it'll be. But he's going to get $60 million. Whether he wins the MVP or not, he'll get $60 million. All right, our play of the day is up next. And Shea and Irving will give us his thoughts about his Dallas Cowboys back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Paulie Fusco here with Tony Fusco.
Yo.
Of course, you know us as the host of the number one rated show in all of sports talk, the Paulie and Tony Fusco Show.
Yeah.
Now, the suits at Fox Sports Radio gave us this airtime because they wanted us to tell you how great our show is.
Why?
Yeah, instead of us doing that, let's just let our millions of fans do the talking.
Yeah, play the tape.
You don't know crap about sports. I mean, why am I even on this crap?
Whoa. That's the wrong tape.
Wrong tape.
Just forget that. Look, listen to the Paulie and Tony Fusco Show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, You can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I didn't even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Sound the trumpets. It's horse racing time, so saddle up for all the action with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Wager on your favorite horses, then watch the races live right there on the app. Download the DK Horse app now. New customers get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when they opt in with the code DP. Only on the DK Horse app.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus, 21 plus in certain states to open or access an account and a resident of a state where DK Horse is available. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Match calculated on first deposit up to a maximum of $250. Deposit requires two-time playthrough of settled wagers within 168 hours. Bonus released in $25 increments. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. See terms at dkhorse.com.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Wow, Marvin. Tony. Not about Kadarius, Tony. I see what your reference is.
Feels little, good for the Bills fan.
Little snarky there. Yeah, lost in all of this is Buffalo won the game in a game that people probably thought what went on during the week with the article that came out about Sean McDermott. They go on the road. They'd already lost, you know, previously. Tough schedule. They got the Cowboys after this, and then they go in there and win that game. All right, before we get to Mike Golic Sr., guess the fine for Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes for criticizing the officials. Todd?
I'm going to go 75 for Mahomes because he did say they're human beings, so I'm not going to go as hard. I'm going to give 150 to Andy Reid.
Wait. 75,000 and 150,000 for Andy Reid?
75 for Mahomes because he said they're human, they make mistakes. 150 for Reid because he talked about how embarrassing this was to the NFL.
Wow. Seton O'Connor.
This feels shockingly high. I'm going to say 25 apiece.
Okay. Marvin?
I'm going to go 25 apiece also.
All right. Paulie?
I'll go 25 for Mahomes. Andy Reid's been there. Coaches get different treatment. I'm going to say 35 for Reid.
Okay. I'm going to go 20-20. Yeah, just 20-20. Let's bring in Mike Golic here. Mike Sr., he was there. He was working for Westwood One, and he joins us on behalf of DraftKings. What kind of fine would you give Mahomes? What would you give Andy Reid for being critical of the officials?
My God, Todd, 75 and a, when he said 75, I thought he meant 7,500.
Yeah, I did too.
75,000 and 150.
Gotta send a message. Oh my. I'm not gonna have this.
Oh my my God, you are, how quickly that would be appealed. Dan, I'm more around you, about 15, 20 each. I think that would be it. And I'm sitting there trying to figure what they're complaining about. It's one thing if it's a subjective call, like with Valdez-Scantling against Green Bay. That's subjective. That was interference. They just didn't call it. Where this, he lined up offsides. And God, I love Andy. And I've known Andy for years. But was he just waiting for a warning on that? I mean, I was talking to Richard Sherman about this morning, and he was like, it's amazing. They don't give defensive players any kind of warning. He's like, I line up offsides, you're offsides. And I said the same thing. I line up offsides, I'm not getting a freaking warning. And even in my game last night with the Cowboys and the Eagles, when the Eagles got into one of their brotherly shove formations, their left guard, Landon Dickerson, lined up in the neutral zone. His hand was in the neutral zone. He didn't get a warning. All of a sudden, they want a warning. You know what? Look over the ref and ask. Because I asked Richard Sherman, if you look over to the ref and ask, will they answer you? He said, yes. They'll give you a thumbs up or, you know, if you're good, or tell you to back up. So, man, you can't just expect a warning there. It was egregious how offside he was. And he wasn't even truly out like a wide receiver. He was basically a little bit past where the tight end is. He's right there. And look in. I mean, I don't know what they have to complain about. This wasn't a subjective call at all.
Yeah, I don't know why Kadarius Toney is trying to cheat a little bit, because it's right. Really not – the play is not based off him getting down to the end zone. He's only 10 yards off the line of scrimmage.
Your point on that is 1,000% correct. We would try as a D lineman, try and crowd the line to get an advantage, to kind of get – a quick jump off and be right into the old lineman. So sometimes I've lined up in the neutral zone and I'm right over the ball. It's inexcusable, but I've done it because you're trying to get all the space you can to gain a quicker advantage. He's gaining no advantage at all by being that close. So I'm with you. I don't understand it at all.
All right. Is it more about the Cowboys and how they looked, or the Eagles suddenly look a whole lot more vulnerable than they did maybe a few weeks ago?
You know, like anything else, Dan, it's probably a little of both. The Cowboys look great right now. And one of the keys, as we talk about Dak having an MVP year, CeeDee Lamb, you know, he was the only receiver going into this game over 500 yards in the slot and as a receiver. He's been incredible. Jake Ferguson in the middle of the field. But their old line, which has two Hall of Famers on it, and Tyron Smith at left tackle and Zach Martin at right guard, who have been nicked up the last couple of years, they're healthy. Tyron Smith has the best blocking, pass blocking pressure percentage, the lowest of any left tackle in the league. Tyler Smith, the guard, is number two, and the right guard, Zach Martin, is number three. They're healthy. That's been a big part of them being so good. Their defense has been good from the beginning this year. And for Philadelphia, they've had injuries in the secondaries. One of the reasons they went got fired from Tennessee. They got Shaq Leonard from the Colts after they cut him because they've had some injuries at the linebacker position. The only real stable position there is the defensive line, where they have good depth. They're giving up way too much in the middle of the field on passes. And I'm telling you, Dan, watching Jalen last night, it looks like his knee is bugging him. And he's been wearing that like sleeve or brace. And let me just say, when you play week to week, you know what's not happening? You're not healing, all right? You're just staying status quo and trying to keep your head above water. It looks like he's affecting him. And it looked like in some of the passes, as there was beginning to be some pressure, that he was bailing on some of his throws. When you're throwing crossing routes, that's got to be, the ball's got to be zipped so you can hit your receiver in stride so they get yards after the catch. His receivers a couple of times on those routes had to kind of slow up. And when they caught the ball, the defender would be right there to make a tackle.
And what is Dak doing differently, let's say, in the last – or I don't know if it's just Dak, but it feels like the offense changed from what Mike McCarthy wanted, was a running attack at the beginning of the year.
I think Dak is reading coverages better. I think that's where I think Jalen last year took a step in that direction. I think Dak has as well, because to me, always for a quarterback, the most important column for me is the interception column. And you see, he had 15 last year and 6 this year. He's not turning the ball over, where Jalen had, coming into the game, 10 interceptions and lost 4 fumbles and lost one again last night. So I think Dak is reading better. The pass protection is good, again, because of the healthy O-line, which is giving him a little more time and protection in the pocket. And like I said, I think he's just reading and throwing the ball better than he did last year, where last year he's trying to fit it in. And there were tight windows last night. By the way, his completion percentage wasn't great last night compared to the last 4 games. He still tries to fit it into that tight window at times, which led to trouble last year. At this point this year, it hasn't led to that kind of trouble.
Talking to Mike Golic, co-host of Gojo and Golic on DraftKings Network. He was on the Westwood One call last night, the Eagles and the Cowboys. What do you make of the AFC North?
Baltimore, I think, in what we thought was the deepest conference led by Kansas City, is now a conference where you'd have to say Baltimore is the most balanced team on both sides of the ball, right? They have the same amount of losses as Miami gets ready to play tonight. And they play in a few weeks. So that could be for the number one seed, depending on if they keep winning or not. But, I mean, Pittsburgh, listen, I don't think anybody fears Pittsburgh. It's just the fact that it's Mike Tomlin and he always has a winning record. And if this team got into the playoffs, you would be like, man, if I'm a team playing them in the playoffs, I'm not fearing them too much. I'm worried more in the AFC, quite honestly, Dan, if Denver gets into the playoffs. I'm calling the Denver-Detroit game on Saturday. Denver is on fire right now. That's a team in the AFC other teams should worry about if they get to the playoffs, because it is all about how you are playing. Attrition, are you getting healthy by the end of the season? How are you playing by the end of the season? Russell Wilson looks so much better. Sean Payton, what he's doing, he's living up to what he said he'd do. But to me, it's that defense. They are playing some ball right now. So the North, Cleveland, I mean, Joe Flacco, I mean, who knew? They're 4 starting quarterback, but they have a great defense, so they're going to be in every single game. Good running attack, and Joku's starting to break out a little bit. So I have Baltimore as the top most balanced team in that division. I have a hard time believing Pittsburgh's going to hang on to that. Right now, they're in the 6th slot of the wild card. I have a hard time believing they're going to hang on to that.
Did you play against Joe Flacco?
I remember, you know, Deacon Jones, you know, yeah, trying to sack him back in the day. But what a rebirth. Been pretty incredible.
I mean, might be in a playoff game, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah. And you don't see many that stationary quarterbacks anymore in the NFL. So that is, and quite honestly, the offensive line likes that, because they love just cup protecting, knowing exactly where your quarterback is going to be. And we know exactly where he's going to be.
The 49ers and the Cowboys. I know they've already played.
Yeah.
But, you know, are we looking at are they different teams now? If who would you take if those two faced each other?
Man, I would still take San Francisco. Okay. I think they have more weapons on offense, for sure. The defensive line has a lot of depth to it. You know, we've been talking about who's at the top of the NFC: San Francisco, Dallas, and Philadelphia. You know, but now it's to the point, and they all have the 3 losses, but San Fran has the tiebreaker on both for the number one seed. But right now it's arrow up Cowboys, arrow up San Francisco, arrow down Philadelphia, the way they're playing right now. They're going to get into the playoffs, but I mean, we know that's not enough for Philadelphia. It's, you lost in the Super Bowl, you got to get back there. That's the next step. Dallas is the team. That was a game for them last night, Dan, that they needed. For all the hype and talk about, can they be back? Can they get back to the Super Bowl? They needed a win like that after losing to this team a few weeks ago. They needed this win. Plus, they are playing so well right now, both offensively and defensively. And again, while Dak is going to get a lot of the press and he deserves it, I give a lot of credit to that old line.
Yeah, but you know what? And it's not fair to Dallas, not fair to Dak, but I want to see what they do on the road in Buffalo and what they do in Miami. I know they got Detroit after that, but and then it's going to be, what about the playoffs? Of all the teams, it's Dallas where you go, yeah, but let's wait till January.
So Philly had their gauntlet run, right, where they beat some good teams and lost to some good teams. Now it's Dallas's turn. So they played the Eagles, as you said. Now the Bills, then the Dolphins, then the Lions, And we'll see what they're doing. But yeah, this is kind of their gauntlet. And it's always going to be, what have you done for me lately for the Cowboys? Because everybody's waiting for them to slip up against a good team and said, there they are. Yeah. Same Cowboys, can't get over the hump. But, you know, they checked that box, at least for the time being. But the next two games are on the road. So, like you said, they've been money at home. Can they be money on the road? And then, but they're playing so well at home. If somehow they could get that number one seed and have everything run through Dallas, yeah, that would be pretty impressive. But right now, that's favoring San Francisco.
Safe travels home. Thank you for taking time to join us, Mike.
You got it, Dan. Thanks.
That's Mike Golic, co-host of Gojo and Golic on DraftKings Network, and he was on the call last night with the Eagles and the Cowboys. Barry in Santa Fe. Barry, thanks for holding. What do you have for me?
Good morning, fellas. Good morning, chat row. Best of the weekend. A Hanukkah miracle in the Meadowlands. Jets score 1, 2, 3 touchdowns, and they actually win the game, which is a surprise. Zach played a great game for once, but as all of us Jets fans know, he's just as liable to stink against Miami next week. One more thing, Dan. You are a fair man, a just man, an honest man. Could you please play a Robert Saleh cut from a victory press conference?
Okay. All right. Thank you, Barry. Here's Robert Saleh after Zach Wilson's performance.
The second half, I thought Zach probably played the best game of his career.
Okay, that's enough. But we did play a little bit of Robert Saleh. Yes, Paulie.
I was going to save one of my best of the weekend. Zach Wilson, after the game, after his best game of his career, did not take the bait. Is this payback for you after? It was a great game. I'm glad we all got together. And when he did not take the bait, Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
They tried.
Gus in L.A. Hey, Gus, what's on your mind? Best and worst of the weekend.
Good morning, Mr. Patrick. Hope you and the boys had a great weekend. I couldn't have many best of the weekend. You know, the Lakers apparently won some in-season tournament. Yay. All right. I kind of don't care. But, you know, hey, win the postseason tournament. That's what's going to make me happy, all right? My newly found cousin, Shohei, congratulations. But honestly, best of the weekend. And I'm not just saying it because it's LeBron's kid. It's Bronny James taking the court. Look, 4 months ago, this kid was just flatlined. 4 months ago, they're doing CPR on him.
Yeah.
And 4 months later, he's playing Division I basketball at the highest level. I mean, that for any athlete, for any person, if you or I went into cardiac arrest 4 months ago, odds are we're not here, let alone playing Division I basketball. So that's got to be the best of the weekend right there. The worst, you know what, my Steelers suck, whatever. I'm not a Chiefs fan. I'm not going to worry about the worst of the weekend. There's been a lot of those of late. So I'm just going to focus on the best of the weekend. As always, you boys have a great week.
Thank you, Gus. We'll give you our best and worst of the weekend right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for time tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
I was always a battleship guy, or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, I haven't even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
You've probably put this off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has the tires that will elevate your game. Touring tires for commuting comfort. How about performance tires for sporty handling? All terrain if you're going on and off-road adventuring. Go to TireRack.com and get started. You're not sure where to begin? I suggest the easy-to-use tire decision guide. Get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how and what and where you drive. Choose from the full lineup of Goodyear tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They bring the tires to your home or office and install them on site. Go to TireRack.com/Dan. See their Goodyear test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to keep an eye out for the current special offers. Great tires and a great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. If you like where Mercedes-Benz has been, you're going to like where they're going. With a full range of EVs now available at your local dealer, Mercedes-Benz is turning electric completely on its head. Experience the all-electric EQB, a versatile luxury SUV that can seat as many as seven. The brilliantly advanced and superbly equipped EQE SUV, positively alive with groundbreaking technology. The inspired EQE, the electric sedan with energizing comfort features that recharge you. The boundlessly capable EQS SUV, a vehicle that takes luxury and innovation to places they've never been before. And of course, the magnificent EQS, the flagship of all EVs, delivering the Mercedes electric experience on a truly epic scale. The vehicles are all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Learn more at your local dealer or mbusa.com/EQ. More phone calls coming up, best and worst of the weekend. MLB Network turns 15 years old on January 1st. They're going to be asking for the car keys, and that's going to be a problem. You guys have an experience that, well, Todd has, but when your kids, they want to drive, and they're 15, then all of a sudden you got drama there.
A little stressful.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Todd. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address, dp@danpatrick.com. He's the Hall of Famer sportscaster. He's Bob Costas. Part of MLB Network's Prime 9 Countdown series returns tonight with Bob as the host here, and it runs all week long, ranking first baseman and second baseman tonight at 5 and 5:30 Eastern, MLB Network. Bob, thanks for joining us. If I talked to you a week ago and I said you're the commissioner and you could place Ohtani wherever you want that's in the best interest of baseball, what would your answer have been?
I think it's probably the answer they wound up with. It's probably the Dodgers. Now, you could say that the Yankees or the Mets, maybe New York gives them a little bit more of a, you know, it's a larger market numerically, but you want him to be happy. You want him to thrive. I think where they were really holding their breath, and maybe it was just leverage from an agent standpoint, but when there was serious talk that the Blue Jays were in the mix, with all due respect to them and their fans and the history of the franchise, it's nothing against them. That would have been bad for baseball overall. You just can't maximize the benefit to baseball as an industry with Shohei Ohtani in Toronto, but you most certainly can with the Dodgers. They're always good. They're often disappointing in terms of what happens in October, but they're always good. There's an almost certainty that you'll see him in the playoffs. Maybe he gets deep into the playoffs. The team itself is a marquee team. They have a national following. They have all the resources to maximize this. They're one of the very few teams that can amortize this investment and actually make it profitable. $700 million just breaks the bank and breaks the previous paradigm. Everybody knows that. Cumulatively, about $300 million more than anybody else has gotten. But to use the word that's been thrown around about him for years, the guy's a unicorn, and so is this deal.
I'm trying to understand the Angels. You know, you lose him, you don't get any compensation, a draft pick or whatever, and you lose him to the Angels or the Dodgers. That's a bad weekend, Bob. But we could see this happening. You don't want to be the GM or owner who traded away Ohtani, but you don't want to be the owner or GM who didn't get anything for Ohtani when he left you.
Well, when there was a lot of talk about this on the MLB Network at the trade deadline, of course. And at that point, the Angels, who seem to always sadly disappoint, they were only three or four games out of the last wild card. And I thought that Artie Moreno and the front office of the Angels actually kept faith with their fan base by saying, A, we're going to keep him, even if it's only for two more months, that you get to see this once, not in a lifetime, but once in forever in the history of baseball player. And we're going to make an effort, therefore, in the next couple of months and beyond, to retain him. Now, that effort was unsuccessful. The trapdoor opened on them. They plummeted to below 500. They were not in the race. But the day they announced that they were not going to put him on the trading block, you may remember this, they had a doubleheader in Detroit, a straight doubleheader, not a split, and pitched a complete game shutout or an eight-inning, one-hit shutout, and then he hit two home runs as the DH in the next game. So at that point, you know, spirits are high around the Angels. I can't blame them. I feel bad. I know there are criticisms of every owner when a team doesn't succeed. But you think about the Angels with Mike Trout, and then they got Pujols, and they got a good player instead of a great player. He was a great player with the Cardinals. What they wound up was with a good player for a while in the second half of his career. They signed Josh Hamilton. At that point, he was an MVP, and he had personal problems, and the trapdoor opened on him as well. They had Ohtani for a while and couldn't get to the postseason with Ohtani and Trout both. You can't say they didn't try. I mean, the Rendon signing, he comes off a World Series title and big RBI numbers with the Nats and doesn't do the same with the Angels. It feels like the whole franchise is snake bit.
I'm wondering Ohtani's impact on the game 10 years, 15 years down the road, where are teams going to be encouraging or not discouraging your pitcher from being a hitter or vice versa, college players? What kind of impact do you think Ohtani will have that way?
Yeah, I can't say precisely, Dan, but there's going to be some. Obviously, there's going to be some. And you know that the best player in high school always pitches and plays some position. And you get a little bit of that in college. And then, of course, they're channeled into whatever they the scouts think is their best position or their college coaches thinks is their best position. But the best players, the most gifted players, at least start out being, many of them, pitchers and position players, and some of them, inspired by Ohtani, are going to want to try that.
We're talking to Bob Costas, Hall of Fame sportscaster, MLB Network host. Are we changing requirements on the Hall of Fame, like we do with the NFL, where running backs are diminished, wide receivers getting more receptions and yards, and guys getting more sacks, and quarterbacks getting bigger numbers? What is baseball's sort of line of demarcation? Has anything really changed in the last, you know, 5 to 7 years?
I think analytics play a greater part in it, because the younger members of the Baseball Writers Association who qualify, having been there for 10 years, as you know, Dan, it's only the writers who vote, broadcasters don't, but the younger guys are more dependent on analytics, and even the older guys have kind of caught up with that, so they may see some players through a different prism. That's the reason why you look at Bobby Abreu and somebody says, you know what, I can compare Bobby Abreu to Al Kaline, who back in the day was a no-doubt Hall of Famer, and you're looking at Bobby Abreu and scratching your head, but maybe analytics say that you should at least consider him. So that's part of it. But then, you know, we've been over this before. Everybody's got to make their own decision about the steroid era. If you're going on pure numbers, McGuire, Sosa, Bonds, certainly Clemens, A-Rod, they're all in already. Manny Ramirez, all in already. How do you parse that, especially in light of the fact that it's reasonable to assume that some guys, even if they didn't testify before Congress or you don't have hard evidence, that some guys already in at least dabbled in steroids during that period of time?
Do you think we ever get to the point where we go, you know, younger voters, they just say, you know what, steroids not a big deal to me, and we're going to put all these guys in?
I think there's some sentiment in that direction. There's still a lot of hardliners who say no, and there's a handful, and I might be among them if I was a writer, who say I'm going to put Bonds and Clemens in a different category because I can rationalize that had they retired before the turn of the century, they would have been in on their natural merits, but I can't say the same for McGuire and Sosa. There's a school of thought that goes that way. But with each passing year, it seems that the hard line resistance to steroid guys lessens. And part of it is the writers who say, you know what, I just throw my hands up. I get it. I get that a lot of these performances are not fully authentic. I get that we're comparing apples to oranges, but I just can't figure out how to deal with it. So the heck with it. Everybody in whose numbers indicate they're going to get in.
Well, it's like Lance Armstrong. He was the best at cheating.
Yes.
I mean, Bonds was the best. If you said everybody gets to use steroids, that guy is so much better than everybody else, and maybe Clemenger.
No doubt.
But Lance was so good in a sport so dirty, I'm like, I don't know.
The example of that is that whether it's the Tour de France, I mean, I'm not an expert on cycling, but the various other events, I guess the Tour de France and the Olympics would be the two most prestigious ones, they don't award the prize to whoever finished second behind Lance Armstrong because they figure at least 1 through 25 were also on some kind of PEDs. What would they do? Some guy out for his morning cycle? Oh, you, on the side of the road. You're clean here. Take this.
Yeah. You, with the Schwinn bicycle, you get right. You win. You won the next stage. You win. You're the only guy clean. How does this Ohtani deal affect future free agents? Like Juan Soto. Does it affect?
It probably does a little bit, but I said this on Saturday when the news broke on MLBN. Every GM in baseball is now rehearsing the following speech to that star player and his agent. This is a high tide that raises no other boats because this guy is completely unique, and so is the Dodgers' circumstance. So this doesn't take a 30 million guy to 40. It doesn't even take an 8 million guy to 12. He's completely unique. Nobody else. Compare yourself to Judge. Compare yourself, if you're a pitcher, to Scherzer's deal or Verlander's deal. But this stands completely alone, and I don't want to hear about it. I don't know if that argument's going to carry the day or somebody will break ranks and move the next great player, not to Ohtani's level, but beyond Judge's level, you know, beyond Trout's level and Harper's level and into the 50s or 60s, maybe. But I think by and large, you could make a reasonable argument that Ohtani is in a category of his own. And so the conversation does not include him when we come to the next guy.
Were you ever broached about being a GM of a team?
No. And neither was I ever broached, despite all the talk about being commissioner of baseball. And I always said, I'm neither interested nor qualified. So forget it.
but don't be humble on this. You could have been commissioner. You could have been a really good commissioner.
I might have been a better commissioner than a GM.
Okay.
Who knows? I really don't think. Honestly, that I was qualified because there are aspects of it, grasp of economics, and especially all the backroom wheeling and dealing and twisting of arms. You have to have a certain kind of temperament for that, and I don't. And I always, the analogy I always use was, if you think a particular columnist is astute politically, that doesn't necessarily mean you think he or she should run for president or be a Supreme Court justice. Their role is to offer thoughts and people weigh it for whatever it's worth. And I was a commentator about baseball, not just calling games, but about the state of the game. I even wrote a book about it. And if people appreciated that, well, that was my contribution.
Well, the press conferences would have sounded so much better if you were the commissioner.
I'll grant you that.
Okay, good. All right, fair enough. Bob, great to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
All right, Dan, one more thing.
Yeah.
I had nothing to do with the rankings. When people watch Prime 9, yeah, I didn't even know what the rankings were until they handed me the script. And there are some of these rankings and exclusions that I don't agree with, so don't blame me.
Oh, you're distancing yourself. When I hosted Sports Century, people were mad when Secretariat got in there. I go, I didn't vote for the horse. But
Believe me, when I found out Secretariat was roughly at the same level of ranking as Mickey Mantle, I wanted to strangle you. And I knew it wasn't your fault, but you were the guy whose name I knew.
I know. I had people mad at me. Thank you, Bob.
Yeah. See you, Dan.
Bob Costas, Hall of Famer, MLB Network, and host of Prime 9. Yeah, when I did Sports Century, and we were counting down, you know, the top athletes, and it was a big deal. And I mean, I was not disappointed. I wasn't surprised that Michael Jordan would be number one, but he shouldn't have been number one. If you're talking about the greatest athlete of all time, I would say it's Jackie Robinson. Because if I factor in everything that he did, he was could have been a professional track. He could have been a running back. He played basketball at UCLA. He played baseball. He broke the color barrier, became a Hall of Famer, had teammates who didn't like him. Everything that he went through just to play baseball and then to be a Hall of Famer, I mean, there's nobody like him. Now, you can say Jim Thorpe, and that's a different era. But to me, Jackie Robinson's the greatest athlete of all time because he could have done four things, at least three professionally. And baseball was considered, I think, his fourth best sport, and he became a Hall of Famer. All right, a couple of phone calls, best and worst of the weekend. We will close up shop, what we learned, what's in store tomorrow. We'll try to accomplish all of that right after this.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Owning a Mercedes-Benz EV isn't just extraordinary, it's extra easy. With full remote access to your vehicle from your phone via the Mercedes Me Connect app, the vehicles are all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. The choice is all yours. Learn more. MBUSA.com/EQ.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow,
you
know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.